covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
That's how you do it. And that is how you play ball. Brewers go into St. Louis, take care of business. This was an impressive series as all get out. They win today by an 8-4 final. Jake Bowers, Bryce Tarango yard. Logan Henderson pitched into the sixth. Ashby and Uribe locked it down and had a good inning in the middle there from Chad Patrick despite one mistake. But nonetheless, the Brewers get it done with all the adversity going against them, and that's how we're going to open this show. Welcome in. I'm Dominic Catronio, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, the Saturday and Liberty WTMJ talking text line with Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher. Augie, you know, when you look at the a little zoomed out right now, they're now 10-5 in the middle of this 18 in a row, the 18 games in 17 days. They're 6-2 to start this road trip. They now have 33 wins. They're 33-19 against teams over 500, and they're 19-7 against teams in their own division, with one more series coming up here against Pittsburgh to close out the first half. Quite frankly, the Brewers had every reason for things to go wrong this week, for the struggles of this week, and I know it's not over, but to take 4 out of 5 against any Major League Baseball team, let alone a team that feels like they can be competing for October, sends a statement to the rest of the league. And to be at 59-34, to maybe be at over 60 wins before the All-Star break, I mean, this is a team that still, you can argue, is finding its stride, and yet it's the second best team in baseball by record.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, you take this team, and you know, we just talked about it. In order to be a good ball club, you got to play really good in all three phases. You got to pitch real well. You got to hit, and you got to play a little bit of defense. This team does it just on a daily basis. Every once in a while, we have a little rut here or something there. But they just go out and they play great baseball. And when you look at what this team does, I get the biggest kick out of it, because we had been talking all year long about their ability of leading the Major League Baseball with scoring runs after two outs. And, you know, all of a sudden now we look at it, now they're scoring more runs than any team in baseball from the seventh inning on. They're doing all these things, and what it takes to do those things, you got to play good defense, and you got to play good offense, and you got to pitch real well. I just think when you look at this team the way it is right now, they're just coming together as one. And it starts with the starting pitching. When they go into a series, when you've got the number of games that you have coming up to finish out the first half or up until All-Star break, you got to have starting pitching, and starting pitching has been very good.
The word that keeps coming to mind to me for this team overall in all facets is the word is balanced. They do a little bit of everything well. And I know they don't hit a monstrosity of homers. They still hit 2 home runs today, which arguably were the difference of the game. And when you're facing a ground ball heavy pitcher in Andre Pallante today, and not only do you have the best of both worlds where they make a mistake, you hit it over the fence, and Pallante gets you to do what he wants you to do, but you're so used to putting the ball in play, it finds a hole. I think that you look at the starting rotation like you're talking about, you've got balance. You've got strikeout guys in Miz and Harrison. You've got a control pitcher now in Logan Henderson, who's back and healthy, and hopefully he continues to build up moving forward. Shane Drouin should also be considered as a control pitcher. Sproat is still developing into his own. Robert Gasser is a control pitcher developing into his own. The bullpen has a little bit of everything. I keep coming back to balance, and I keep coming back to the fact that this team is so much better than it was last year, because quite frankly, Augie, like, the way I feel about this team versus last year's team got unbelievably hot, you know, with the 14 game winning streak, the 11 game winning streak, the 8 game winning streak. But you look up and this team, you know, doesn't lose series. They're in every single game. They don't get blown out. They're not so volatile as last year's team because of how balanced they are this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, and the balance comes in that you have a group of, you know, it's 20, 25 players, but then you expand this expand the roster and you get all the guys that come up and help you and do the things you have to do. And that balance does come in handy. It's a balance that, you know what, you look for your certain leaders. You know, you look for your Christian Yelages and your Terangs and your Contreras's and your Cheerios to go and do the things. And now you look at Jake Bauer, he's been one of the leaders in this ball club. But the creative balance that this club has, just like you said, it allows the players to go out and achieve what they need to do. Go out and play as hard as they can. Don't go out and do it too much. Go out and do what you do and do it well. And, you know, I think a classic example of that right now is Joey Ortiz. He's come up and what did he do? Raise his batting average 25 plus points in the last several weeks. And look what he's doing on the defensive side. You're seeing Pratt come up and do a good job. It's that creative balance because it's all about team. It's about going out and doing your job at what you do very well. But don't go out and try to do too much. Do what you do well. And I think they're nice and relaxed. They're playing good baseball. And they're confident that when they get late in the ballgame and they're close, they're going to win the ballgame.
When I look at it, and to finish the thought on the statement and taking 4 out of 5 from a team that you're absolutely better than in St. Louis, since May 4th, the last time the Brewers were in St. Louis, remember, that was when Andrew Vaughn and Jackson Churio were activated off the injured list and finally got to feel like this team was nearly full strength. Yelly wasn't back yet, but let's use May 4th as the line of demarcation. The Brewers have the best record in baseball since they became full strength. I'll say that again. They have the best record in baseball since May 4th. They're 41-19 over their last 60 games. This is not a small sample. I mean, that's nearly... That's a third of a season right there. It's a little more than a third of a season. 60-game sample of everybody available. This team has made it very, very, very clear. Are they perfect? No. Are they better than last year's? Absolutely. And are they a threat to the Dodgers and to whoever else you want to throw in front of them into October? As you know, the doom and gloomers are going to say, oh, well, is it better than the Dodgers? I truly believe we have found enough of a sample to say, they can compete with L.A. They should be considered a legitimate pennant contender.
There's no question about it. You know, and I think one thing you see with this ball club now, Dom, you go up and you play teams, and I think this Cardinals series was a situation where the Cards are going to see, where are we at? We're having a great season. We're above 500. We're right in the mix of the things, and we're about 8 or 9 games out of first place. Where are we? And I'll tell you what, teams go up against this ball club, and they say, you know what, we're going to go up against this Brewer ball club. This is really good ball club. We're going to find out just how good we are. And when you play the Brewers, you have to play well because they play so good with all three phases of pitching, the defense, and in the offense is so consistent and well-balanced, like you said earlier. Teams are come up and say, how do we compete with this team? Because this team just keeps coming at you. They never give up. They're going to play 27 outs. And if they don't win this today, they're going to flip the page, and they're going to come right back at you the next day. And I think that's really neat to see about this club. I enjoyed beating the Cardinals 4 out of 5, but at the same time, I enjoyed watching the Cardinals say, just where are we? How can we compete with this Brewer ball club? What do we need to do to get like this Brewer ball club? That's a really neat thing to see.
And then lastly, 92 games at 58-34, also obviously still a team record. This time last year, they weren't even in first place yet in the division. They were in the middle of their first long winning streak, or their second long winning streak, at 11, the 11-gamer heading in and around the All-Star break. They were 52-40. They're 6 games better than they were at this point last year. Now, granted, there are 2 big winning streaks on the horizon. Just to give you some numbers to realize, this team's for real, and this team's not going anywhere. So as we give some grand statements about how we feel about the Brewers heading to the All-Star break, you got to make sure you get the job done against Pittsburgh. We'll talk about that later. Brewers win 8-4. Jake Rakes, Logan Henderson pitched well. We'll break down the game next here on 620 WTMJ. Brewers keep on rolling. How about it? 8-4 over St. Louis. They take 4 out of 5. Easy pick for who's hot right now is Jake Bowers. The season and the resurgence continue to shine. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. Jake had a 3 true outcomes kind of day today. Of course, he hits a clutch 3-run homer. He also added a walk in this game. He had another hit in this game as well. 3 runs batted in and 2 strikeouts, but hey, that's baseball, Susan. You know, but the play I want to point out is the second inning when he dove out of the way of a tag on a comebacker to the mound. When he was on second base, he took off for third thinking that ball was going to get by the pitcher. It didn't. And Andre Pallante threw to third, and Bauer somehow avoids the tag. And the next two batters get our run-scoring singles. And I don't think that's a coincidence that Bauers makes a miracle base-running matrix move, and then the Brewers get two run on, because we've said this over and over, Augie. Top to bottom, you have got to play perfect against the Brewers with the fundamental baseball that they're able to bring to the table every night.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. This team is just keeps coming at you, and up and down the lineup, it's not the same guy every night. It's different guys throughout it. We've seen it in this series. How it was the first night, it was Yelich, and then the next, then you come up with the next game, you get the big home run by Ortiz to get him a little bit of a lead. Then they score seven runs. It's different guys stepping up. But if there's one guy that has really put his stamp on this ball club this year, and we probably would not have thought about it before the season started, that's Jake Bowers. And I'll tell you what, you look for a guy who stays consistent. I think all season long so far, he's been consistent in what he's been able to do. He can play multi-positions. He's very versatile. He's hitting the ball all over the park. You need a ball, hit out of the park. You come and you make a mistake, he's going to drive the ball out of the ballpark like he did tonight. He's a guy that's really put the stamp, and he's just a guy, just another player on this ball club. When you add it to that group of guys from the beginning that are starting to step up and get better and better, and I think that breeds confidence in this whole team, and that's that creative balance that you talked about early. You get more guys going up and doing things well, all of a sudden they figure, we can all go out, we can all help this team win, and it's showing that in this series. But I'll tell you what, Jake Bowers has been a big, big part of it.
I mean, there's every number under the sun that we can use to analyze Jake Bowers and how strong he's been for the Brewers, how he's been compared to league average. You know, we've got all the advanced stuff that we can look at. We can figure out, you know, does he chase? Does he swing? I mean, his walk rate's good. His strikeout rate has gone down year over year. Batting average up. OPS is up. His weighted runs created plus, that's league adjusted. That's 35 points above league average. I mean, he's worth almost two wins, whereas for his career, he was basically a break-even player. He was what we would call in the industry a replacement player. And you were saying it, like, no one was expecting this out of Jake Bowers, except for maybe Jake. And to be having a renaissance in his age 30 season, to be leading a playoff team in home runs in July, his OPS hasn't been below 800 since May. He's just been so consistent. That's a perfect word, Augie. And the fact that Bowers is somebody that, number one, is a top five dude, like just teammate, guy to talk to, loves the game, loves his teammates, is absolutely the kind of guy that it's not a surprise that somebody like Jake, who, again, at age 30, we talked about this with him in spring training when he was just having an epic spring training and making it clear he was going to stick around on this club for another year, that, you know, it's not by accident that you got to be a good human, you got to do your job, you've got to exhibit versatility. And on top of all that, him producing is just one of the feel-good stories of the season because of the fact that this dude is now on his third year with Milwaukee. Anybody could have had him after that epic home run in 2024. He was non-tendered. He was brought back on a minor league deal. They didn't even know if he was going to make the team in 2025. Then he gets hurt in the middle of the year. And to rehash a story, since September 3rd, he's been the second best player on the Brewers offensively. Since September 3rd of 2025, every number across the board says he's number one or number two most important offensive player on the Brewers. That includes Jackson Churio. That includes Andrew Vaughn. That includes Bryce Turang. This dude found it. He found what he needed to do. He was a late bloomer, and thank goodness he bloomed.
Yeah, you know, Don, we can take ourselves back, and you brought up some really neat points there when he was led non-tendered and came back. But, you know, every year since that, when you look at him from 24 on or when we've had him, you look at a guy that you would like to have come off the bench. He had that ability to come off the bench and really give you a pretty good at-bat. Was he one of the guys you looked forward to coming off the bench? Probably not at that time, but each time he'd come in the game, he'd give you that good at-bat, and he just got better and better, and then, boy, it's amazing. middle half of last year on, he just started being a much better hitter, patient at the plate, taking what he's given. And I'll tell you what, he's really stepped it up. And here's a guy that you look a couple years ago saying, you know, he's a guy that we like. We like to have him on a team. Like, he's a bench player. He's that pinch hit guy. Now all of a sudden he's become such an important part. He's a versatile guy that you need in that lineup each and every day.
You know, he's an easy pick for who's hot. It's so fun to see him do it. Obviously, he hit a three-run homer, which was great. The last thing, how about him directing traffic? I mean, it sounds like such a basic thing. And I know some people probably rolling their eyes like, Dom, they're big leaguers. They're supposed to do that. I promise you, go watch as many games as you can tomorrow in those situations. You're not going to see that every single time. I promise you. Jake Bauer's directing Jackson Churio to slide to the outside of home plate on the sac fly to give an insurance run in the top of the ninth inning. I mean, he was in the right spot, exactly where he needed to be. Churio makes an epic slide, and everybody gets to celebrate. I just think that for the Brewers, having the right guys is always important. But when the right guys are doing the little things, that's how you get 59 wins before the All-Star break.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Doing the little things that you have to do. And that's one thing this ball club does. You know, we could look at that, directing him go to the outside. But, you know, even Churio at second base, going for second or third on the ball hit, fly ball hit, and then coming home and tagging up. It's a big run, and how they go about it and doing just the little things, directing the guys where they have to be in your spot, doing those little things really has made a big deal to this ball club. But, you know, they do it from spring training on. They work hard at the fundamentals, doing the right things. When you have to do something, you do it right, and you do it correctly, and good things are going to happen. This club has really shown that they're in a groove right now where they just automatically do things. You don't have to tell them. They just automatically do them.
It's pretty great. A couple of texts that have rolled in here. 4 out of 5 from Doug. I will take that. Brewers are beating up the Central again. They just keep throwing pitchers out there, and they keep winning. They are so deep. They have their choice. Let's get Turang in the All-Star game. I think it's probably too late for that. Probably would have happened already for a replacement. Home run from Turang. That swing looked like it wouldn't make it to the outfielder. Wow, that ball just kept carrying. Then this one made me laugh. We've talked about it before. You know, if a 3-game series is a sweep and a 4-game series is a mop, what would have a 5-game sweep would have been? A Zamboni? That made me chuckle. I think I got word from Jake Mintz, who coined this. They called it a disinfecting. You know, it's a little bit deeper clean than a mop, a disinfecting. And then a minor league 6-game sweep, since they play 6-game series now, a minor league 6-game sweep is called a bleach. So those are your terminologies. We've locked it in. Brewers didn't get the disinfecting, but they won 4 out of 5. That's a great week. Logan Henderson pitched well. Good to have him back off the injured list. We'll break down his start coming up after the break on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Who's Hot was brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Jake Bauer's easy pick for that. Who's Cold? The St. Louis Cardinals are starting to come back down to earth fast. Whether it's a day at the lake, the golf course, the ballpark, come home to comfort with Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Keep your AC running at its best with a midsummer checkup. Visit cider.com to schedule your service today and stay cool all summer long. That's SEIR.com. You know, it's very quiet that Logan Henderson worked into the sixth inning. Line's a little misleading. He gave up 3 runs. 2 of them scored after he had exited the game. But nonetheless, he was on a pitch count today as he returns from his low back strain. 76 pitches. I think the most impressive stat today, Augie, was 50 strikes out of those 76 pitches. 2/3 of his pitches were in the strike zone. What did you see today from Logan Henderson?
Well, I saw a guy who was really efficient today. I watched each and every inning, and, you know, you watch him in the third inning, he had 30 pitches. You watch him in the fourth, he had 40, a little over 40 pitches, almost 50 pitches. Watch him in the, you know, that later on the next 2 innings, the pitch count went up a little bit. But, you know, Logan Henderson is one of those guys that, you know, everybody knows he's got the great changeup, and he can use those changeup. There are guys that go out and they pitch, and they have to be efficient. They can use any pitch at any time. When you say, what's your quality pitch? Yeah, everybody talks about, I got to locate my fastball. I got to pitch ahead. I need that. I need to be very good with that. With Logan Henderson, it's not that. It's any one of his pitches. And I thought the one thing that I really like about him, he will use any pitch at any time to get done what he has to. We saw him throw 4 changeups in a row tonight to get a guy out. It's just the ability to execute what you need to do to get hitters out. And being able to being able to use all those pitches like he did tonight. First pitch strikes was excellent. Locating the ball was excellent, and getting early contact was even better for him, because then he could stay in the game later. I thought he pitched very, very well.
Yeah, as he'll continue to rebuild and show why he can hopefully sustain and maintain throughout a season, because, you know, we talked about him briefly yesterday, and I compared him to say that he's sort of the pitching version of Garrett Mitchell, because when he's on the field, your jaw is on the floor of just like, goodness, that fastball changeup combination at times is unhittable. And quite frankly, I don't know what the Brewers are going to do between now and the trade deadline, whether they get a right-handed bat, which I think is number one thing on the priority list, and then maybe a starter now with the news on Brandon Woodruff. And you're monitoring what's going on with Kyle Harrison with the soreness. Is Logan Henderson going to be able to build up enough innings to be trusted in a postseason start? I don't know. Could he be a heck of a weapon out of the bullpen? Absolutely. And from what I see from Henderson is the fact that he already understands his stuff when he executes it, Augie, plays in zone. Like, that's normally a very late hurdle for young pitchers to clear, to learn. And sometimes you get away with a lot more in the minor leagues, obviously. But all the mistakes that he's made when he hangs a changeup, when he, you know, misses a fastball middle, it's generally getting punished. But when he's executing like he's supposed to, and he has a little Henderson hop, and you see the little giddy up on it, he's seeing swings and misses. He's seeing uncomfortable takes, and that's feedback he's going to take. He's only 11 starts into his big league career, and the Brewers are 6-1 in those 11 starts. He's 6-1 in those 11 starts. The Brewers have only lost two of those 11 games. This is not an accident. This dude's a dude, and he should get better as the year goes on.
Well, that efficiency that we talked about earlier, going out and being able to command the strike zone, and you'll see him when he wants to. He'll throw that good fading changeup down. He's almost got like he's got two types of changeup. He's got a changeup he can throw high in his zone that's got a little bit more east-west movement on it. It will go in on a right-hander away from a lefty, and then he's got the one that just seems like it falls off the table. When you have that type of control over a breaking ball, over a changeup, that's your secondary pitch, and then you can still throw the cutter, and you can throw your fastball to good location on the ends of the strike zone, on the inside and outside part of the strike zone, and elevate it when you need. That's efficiency. He can expand the strike zone with the stuff he's got. That changeup makes him, but I'm going to tell you, he uses all pitches efficient, and he knows what he wants to do, and he can throw the ball where he wants to. If you can do that, you can be pretty good, and he did tonight. I thought he did a great job.
You know, I don't want to double tap on Chad Patrick because there's not much to analyze. He hung a cutter. And for people saying, like, why they throw a cutter, that's his best pitch. Like, he's got to throw a cutter to Jordan Walker to give up the 3-run homer, which made this a ball game briefly, but the Brewers never lost their lead. Otherwise, he settled down and got the rest of the next inning out, which was good to see him get back on the saddle. Ashby, Houdini act in the eighth inning. And then Uribe, he got to coast because it wasn't a save situation. But now, as we were so fearful heading into this series, these 5 games in 4 days, the bullpen is in great shape. I mean, you have made it through the darkest part of the forest to get ready for Pittsburgh, and you're feeling pretty good about where things stand and where arms are hanging, because you don't have any of your arms having to pitch in the All-Star game. You can let it rip against Pittsburgh and try to take another series.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It starts with the starting rotation. I just think the starting rotation in the series did just an outstanding job. In fact, they've done, since they started, this number of games and one more game than days played to finish out the first half or up until the All-Star break. The starting rotation has just been very good, taking you to deeper parts of the games when you need to be there. And I think that's so important. And then you look at it, I think that what Chris Hook and Jim Henderson have done to model this bullpen on how they wanted to use it. We saw it in the earlier. They had Uribe the closer, then McGill the next night, or McGill and then Uribe the next game. Staying fresh as you can with that major part of your bullpen is so important. Brewers did that. Now going into the series in Pittsburgh, they are very, very healthy in the bullpen.
It's a really fun time to be a Brewers fan, obviously, and they have a chance to continue their dominance over the division and try to get some revenge, because last time the Brewers saw the Pirates, it was late April. I mean, it was no Vaughn, no Churio, no Yelich. Woodruff had was about to get hurt, I should say. Miz was pitching well. Skeens was perfect through seven. All the, it both teams are completely different as we heading into this weekend against the Pirates. Now, Augie, you won't be hearing from me this weekend. I'm actually taking the weekend off, so you'll be hanging out with Bob Brainerd and Alex Stroph. Appreciate you as always, my friend. Have a great All-Star break, and I'll talk to you in the second half.
Well, you go as much as you go, you need a little break. So this is well deserved. Enjoy the All-Star break and the time off, and we'll try to pick up the last three games for you and make it a good finish. But more than anything, enjoy it. You need it.
Well, if they go 3-0, I might not be able to get back inside the building. So the Brewers try to keep things rolling against Pittsburgh. Appreciate you as always, Augie. Talk to you soon.
All right. Be well.
All right. We'll talk a little bit to Pat Murphy coming up in a moment. We'll get to some texts as well. I just sit here and I go, I think this team is very clearly the second best team in baseball. I think they have surpassed the Braves if they've really hit a real slide here. And I know the Brewers lost a series to the Braves. I still think you do that series again right now, the Brewers are going to win that series. And quite frankly, one of those games was fluky with the home runs that Ozzie Albies hit. That's baseball, Susan. Deal with it. That's my take. I'm sticking to it. Do you buy it or do you sell it? It's brought to you by Tony Windorf and Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Windorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, powered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WindorfTeam.kw.com. Some more texts, some YouTube chats as well. We're going to the top of the hour on 620 WTMJ. That question about the cleaning terminology for a sweep, a mop, disinfecting, a bleach, that came from Dave and Madison. Over on the YouTube side, Ryan saying a five-game sweep is a rinse. No, that's not deep enough. That's not enough of a clean. You just rinse off. That's too light, right? A sweep, all right, that's top level, right? A mop, we're getting a little deeper. A disinfecting, hey, we're getting another tool out here. And then a bleach. I mean, that's only a six game available in the minor leagues. So there's levels to this. So it can't be a rinse. It's not enough. This one from Tom, is the Brewers' biggest need, aside from a right-handed power bat, is a fireman in the pen. I will never turn down a bullpen arm. And I know Shelby Miller got hurt last year. Shelby Miller was a great fit. That's the type of profile you're looking for. Maybe another lefty, given Koenig's slow return from the IL. I'm sure he'll be A-okay. But maybe another lefty to help out, pick up the slack for Aaron Ashby, given he can't do it alone. He can't pitch every single day, or can he? I think right-handed bat is the number one thing they should be looking for. Number two would be bullpen help. Number three would be a starting pitcher. And I think three's got a little bit of distance now. Maybe something can change between now and the trade deadline. You got less than a month for that to be figured out. Player of the Game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive in a summer in style and save up to 15 grand on select in-stock models. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Bryce Terang had some great defense today, too, in addition to hitting a homer. He went 2-for-5. We already mentioned Jake Bowers going 2-for-4 with a 3-run homer. He was DHing today, giving Yelly the day off. I think either one of those are great picks. I'm personally going to go with Jake Bowers, given how much we've praised him, but Bryce Terang deserves a nod as well. Those are your team leaders in home runs this year. But it wasn't the homer that Pat Murphy wanted to start to talk about. It was the matrix move from earlier in the game. Here's Murph talking to the media.
Think about Bauer's swim move early in the game to get that first run.
Wow, it was a great question, Adam. That was significant that he made that. It was kind of an errant throw from the pitcher, and third baseman kind of, you know, lost touch of where he was, so he avoided it pretty nicely. Great athleticism.
And then the homer is a game changer. You know, he's not going to the All-Star game, but his impact for you guys has just been huge, hasn't it?
Yeah, you can't find a player. Miz, you know, maybe a bigger impact. I'm not sure, but it for sure, Bowers has been a huge impact this whole year, as well as Bryce, as well as William, you know, as well as Harrison. I think they're all deserving, but I'm not going to even get involved in that whole situation. I don't know the big picture. I don't know other teams as well. I just try to prepare to compete against them. So I don't know who's played great and who hasn't. So I'm no expert to say. I know those guys have been a real key for us.
Murph, too. I'm sorry. I had something else in my head. Logan Henderson.
Pass.
Five and a third.
What do you got? He wasn't ready.
I was going to ask about the starting pitcher too, Logan's effort tonight.
Yeah, Logan was fantastic. To come off the IL, you know, and not pitch in a big league game for I don't know how many months, and to come here and throw against this offensive of a club, and to throw five plus, and walk one, give up, you know, three hits or whatever he gave up, and set us up for a victory was fantastic. Chad Patrick gave up a home run, bad pitch. You know, it happens. Credit the hitter, because that hitter is as hot a hitter as there is in baseball. Leader in RBIs in the game. He went right at him and gave up a homer, but then settled down and gave us five big outs after that. And then we got to Ashby, who pitched in a big jam and, you know, got out that same hitter with a strikeout and then and got a pop out to end the inning. So Ashby and Uribe, it's not always easy to pitch with a lead. Yeah, I'm proud of both those guys, too.
To come out of here with four out of five, how big is that for you guys?
It's big. It's big. Every win's big. You know, you get ahead like this and you blow a game like this, and it's a game changer. So, you know, you have to stay the course and critique your team. You know, we have some ball fours that we swung at. We had eight pull side ground balls that resulted in seven outs. You know, we said coming into the game we don't want to hit pull side ground balls. We did it eight times. It was seven of the outs, you know, seven of our 27. So you want to use the outs efficiently if you can. But we did do a lot of great things. So proud of our club. There's a lot of great at-bats. You know, Terang, Bowers, as you mentioned. Sal Frelick got a couple knocks. Pratt continues to impress. His offensive ability and defensive ability. Churio put up two base hits for us, hit hard, you know, ran the bases on the sac fly and got himself safe at the plate by an inch. And, yeah, a lot of good plays, a lot of good stuff. So,
from a little bit bigger picture, this stretch of the schedule you guys had been looking at from the start of 17 in a row.
You were looking at it.
Were you?
No. Didn't. I said I'll get there when I get there. You know what I mean? Can't get there before you get there, right?
With three to
you
go.
You can't get there before you get there.
I understand that. With three to go.
I want you to say that after me. You can't get there.
You can't get there until you get there, but with
until
three to
you
go,
get there. Okay? What, there's more of an emphasis on the last part. Until you get there. I thought it was, you know, with three to go, we're not done with this trip. So when did we start this trip? I don't remember, so long ago.
The trip started on Friday.
That's it? On Friday?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Only a week.
So only, not even a week ago.
But before that, you had a week at home, solid.
Huh. You're looking for off days? Are you looking for a vacation again?
On vacation.
I'm not looking for off days. We're looking for wins. No. Seriously, Adam, no. I mean, a lot of guys have been talking about it, and our people that help us with the planning and strategy, you know, they've been talking about the pitching and the ins and outs, and there's a lot goes into it. But all that being said, you know, you just play the game at hand. We got another one tomorrow, a tough one. We got one of the best pitchers in the game, maybe the most underrated pitcher in the game. Is he going to the All-Star game, Ashcraft?
Yes.
Yeah, he's good, man. This guy's really good. So we got him, and we got Skeens on Sunday. Like, those are two of the best in the game. So, and the kid in between is one of the top prospects in the game. So, and the Pirates have played great baseball, and you know, yeah. And we're at third place, and the whole thing. So we got to keep playing well on the road. You know, I don't even know what our record is on this road trip, but whatever it is, you know, we got three more games. That's the past. You know, and play three more games and see what happens.
They're 6-2 on this road trip, Murph. They're doing pretty darn good. I know you know that. Don't lie. I know you know that, Murph. Highlights. They're coming up next. Brewers get the dub. They hit the ball over the fence, too. Back after this on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Andre Pallante for the Cardinals. Logan Henderson activated for the Brewers, your starting pitching matchup in this contest. The Brewers, though, got out to a hot start in the second, scoring a pair of runs on Sal Frelick and Cooper Pratt RBI singles. He picked things up in the third, the second time through against Pallante. Three straight singles to open up the frame, the RBI to Terang, then the big one coming to Bowers.
1-1. Drilled into right, it's deep. Nootbaar turning around, watching it fly into the Cardinals' bullpen. Goodbye, Jake Bowers leaves the yard on a three-run blast. Oh, baby, what a big swing for Jake. He continues to rake, and the Brewers have a 6-0 lead in the third against Palante and the Cardinals.
So the Brewers would continue to sit on that 6-0 lead for a while. The Cardinals would get a run in the fourth, but then things got wrong in the sixth. A three-run homer from Jordan Walker against Chad Patrick suddenly made this a ball game again. It was 6-4 heading to the seventh inning. Cardinals were deep into their bullpen at this point with Gastelum on the mound. The young rookie has now given up his first
the
homer.
3-2. Flied into center. Backing up is Nathan Church. Still going back. Church still back. All the way to the wall. Goodbye, Bryce Terang. Onto the berm beyond center field. More seventh inning magic for the Brewers. They've scored in the seventh in six games in a row. That's incredible. And it took them one batter tonight.
They went 14-0 against the Cardinals in this series in the seventh inning. In the eighth, it got hairy, though, for Aaron Ashby. He allowed an infield single to the first batter, Weatherholt. He would walk Ivan Herrera. After a fielder's choice by Burleson, there were men on the corners. Jordan Walker would strike out, and Nootbaar would pop out.
Ashby's 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out with a curveball. Aaron Ashby, a huge second out here in the eighth inning. Strikes out Jordan Walker.
That was the K. That was massive in the moment. And as we said, Nootbaar would pop out. Brewers still would love some insurance. Only up 7-4. Jackson Churio led off the ninth with a double. He got to third on a fly ball to left. And then was aggressive on a fly ball
Here's
to right.
Contreras, infield is in. Pitch is a fly ball, shallow right. It's going to carry out to Nootbaar, who will make the catch. Churio's going to try to tag down the line. Here's the throw, and they did not get him. Jackson got in there under the tag of Herrera. His helmet came flying off in the process. The throw beat him by plenty, but Herrera must have whiffed on the tag as Churio got in there with the left hand, and they will not challenge. A huge insurance run here for the Brewers.
And all that's left is to make it official with Abner Uribe for the bottom of the ninth.
2-2 pitch. And ground ball to second base. Terang gets around it. Throws to first in time. And the Brewers will have a winning road trip with one city left to go on this three-city trip. 8-4 your final. The Brewers win this series against the Cardinals 4-1 here in St. Louis.
How about it? Brewers are 6-2 on the road trip. They're 10-5 in this 18 in a row with three more to go against Pittsburgh. Let's preview it next on 620 WTMJ. All right, I got about a minute and a half left. Thank everybody for tuning in as we get near the All-Star break. 5:40 first pitch tomorrow, Friday, in Pittsburgh. Good matchup. Brandon Sproat against Braxton Ashcraft, who was named to the All-Star team in lieu of Paul Skeens. Again, 5:40 first pitch back on the Eastern time zone. Saturday will be a 3:05 first pitch. That one features Shane Drouin against Bubba Chandler. And then Sunday, get your popcorn. It is an early start, 11:15. Jacob Mizorowski, Paul Skeens, the All-Stars going head-to-head. I will not be with you this weekend. I am taking a weekend off. For those of you who don't know, I'm getting married this year, so it's bachelor party weekend heading into the All-Star break. But we're keeping it classy. Keep it classy, San Diego. But the Brewers will have to, the show will go on. It'll be Bob Brainerd in my chair on Friday. Alex Stroff stepping in on Saturday and Sunday. So All the shows will be available on your pod feeds at Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. And I will be listening from the golf course. Big thanks to our producer, Matt Yazel, and to Jerry Augustine. I'm Dom Catronio. Talk to you after the break. Keep on swinging.